Hi, and welcome to Moms Fighting Autism webinar. We have with us today Sarah Gawanter. Sarah Gawanter is a well-known psychotherapist who trains at Columbia University. She was also trained by the Georgiana Organization and Sally Brockett International Berard Trainer in the Berard Method of Auditory Integration. Welcome to the show, Sarah. Would you please, so happy to have you here. Would you please give us a little bit of background information on what is auditory integration training?
Hi, Minta.
Hi. Welcome to the show, Sarah.
Can you hear me all right?
Yes, I can hear you.
Great. So, auditory integration training is a sound and music listening program that helps normalize the hearing and the way the brain processes information. So it's very helpful with a lot of the symptoms of autism spectrum disorders, as well as other issues like ADHD and dyslexia, or auditory processing disorder. It was developed close to 40-some years ago by Dr. Guy Berard, who was a French ear, nose, throat doctor. And he was actually losing his hearing, so he was looking for something that would help stimulate the auditory area, and be, in a sense, like exercise for the ears. So he studied a number of other auditory programs and developed this particular method and approach because he wanted to be able to have the most efficient, effective program possible. He used it with it himself, and it did, in fact, help his hearing and also his tinnitus. And then he had a daughter who he knew was not deaf, but had some abnormalities about the way she heard sound. And so she was having a lot of difficulty in school. She was considered to be pretty severely dyslexic.
Wait, I'm sorry, Sarah. I need to interrupt you. You're breaking up a little bit. Are you? You're not on Skype. You're on a landline, are you?
I am on a landline.
Mm.
Is this any better?
Yeah, that's better.
Okay.
Sorry to interrupt you.
Quite all right. So his daughter had some hearing issues, abnormalities of the way she heard sound. They tried it with her, and she just took off academically. So in Europe, it became more well-known for treatment of dyslexia, where in this country, there was a well-known case of autism spectrum, and it just was remarkable in terms of the improvements. The mother of the child that went to Dr. Berard originally, Annabelle Staley wrote a book called Sound of a Miracle about this treatment because they found that her daughter was severely hypersensitive to all senses. And when they brought her to Dr. Berard, at that point she was 11 years old. The parents had been told basically to just put her in an institution, throw away the key, don't worry about her. The parents knew that there was something beyond. They wanted some other help for her. They knew that she had hypersensitive hearing and had heard about Dr. Berard's work. So at that time, it was not available in the States, and they brought her to France. And he said, well, he had no idea what it would do for the autism, but at least they could help with the hypersensitivity to sound. And what they found, in fact, was that it not only helped with the sound sensitivity, but a lot of her autistic symptoms started to go away. And now she's in her 30s or maybe even a little older. She is married, she has children. She is, you would not know that she had been considered severely autistic. So in this country, after Annabelle wrote the book, it became more well-known for treatment of autism. And what we find is that it does help with all different kinds of sensory issues, particularly sound, but even I've seen improvement in other areas as well, taste, touch, vision, smell. So obviously if you have a child that's, for example, sensitive to smell or taste, that can interfere with being able to eat a variety of foods. So if we can get the hearing and the other senses and the smell and taste more balanced, more normalized, then they start eating a healthier, wider variety of food, or being able to tolerate touch, or being able to be in a noisy environment without freaking out, which is what happens with a lot of kids with these issues, is they are so sensitive. It's like what Georgiana Staley called bionic senses. Everything is super sensitive. And the program is fairly simple to do. It's basically keeping headphones on for half an hour twice a day for 10 days.
Mm. Sarah, can I interrupt you one more time? I'm mm-hmm. so sorry. I have your first slide.
Uh-huh. Great.
Moving to your, this is your first slide.
Okay.
Developed by Guy Berard. Would you like me to continue to slide two?
Sure, that would be great.
Okay. Here we have a picture of a person with the headphones on.
With headphones on.
Right,
yeah.
Yes.
And one of the things, as it says there, that has been so wonderful about it is it is non-invasive. It is simply listening with headphones to music that has been filtered and modulated. So it sounds like music, but with high frequencies, low frequencies. It goes loud, soft, clicks, metallic sound. It breaks up the pattern of sound, and in that way then can help improve and balance and normalize the way the brain is processing information and all the different senses. It also can help with speech and language issues. So we have, in fact, individualized programs to help with speech and language issues, as delays, stuttering, stammering. And I've had children that had no language start saying words after AIT, which is wonderful and gives me goosebumps every time I think of it.
Hmm.
But it can help with stuttering, stammering. It's quite remarkable. And then when you think of brain function, you're talking about being able to, with the sound therapy, being able to stimulate new neural pathways in the brain. In fact, there was a study that showed increased cell growth in the corpus callosum, which is the part of the brain that helps with right-left crossover function. So that can then show up as improvement in handwriting or other kinds of motor control and coordination. So it can do many, many different things, and we are able to use it with a wide variety of issues. It is, I would say, the majority of people that I have worked with over the 20-whatever years or so that I have been doing AIT, probably the majority have been on the autism spectrum, but we also get all different ages, all different issues. We start with kids as young as 3 years old, and I have worked with adults in their 70s. Obviously, different issues come up, but we also get a lot of auditory processing disorder now, because it used to be that that was not even identified as a problem until fairly recently. So now people are beginning to recognize that when you look at hearing issues, typically audiologists are trained to look for hearing loss and deafness, and of course that is a problem. But what was so brilliant about Dr. Berard is he recognized that there could be other auditory issues as well, not just deafness. For example, having delays in hearing, or hearing differently one ear to the other, or one frequency to another. So one of the things that we do ask people to do is have a hearing screening. And if a child is too young to be able to do an accurate hearing test, then the tester can at least know that the ears are clear, no wax, no fluid, no infection. If we have a child or adult who's able to do a more specific accurate hearing test, then we can use that test to further individualize the program. And on that test, if all frequencies are tested, you can see if a person is hearing the same way on both ears and the same way across all frequencies, whether they have hypersensitivity to sound or hyperacusis or other issues. So if you actually look to slide 4, you can see a picture of frequencies, high and low, that's up and down marks. And when you look at an audiogram, or when hearing is tested, a tone is played, which provides a certain frequency. So ideally, and this may be a bit technical for most people, but it can be interesting, the range that is usually tested for in hearing tests goes from 125 hertz, which is cycles per second, which is a low tone like a foghorn, all the way up to 8,000 or in some cases 12,000, so which is a very high pitch like metallic sound or electronic noises. Speech and language fall in the middle ranges. So ideally we like to have the hearing tested on all frequencies separately and in each ear separately. That way we can see exactly what's going on. So it's not just can you hear or can you not hear, is the person deaf or not, but how do you hear sounds, which is an important question because not everybody is hearing the same way. And if the hearing is too distorted, then it makes it difficult not only to understand what is said, which would be receptive language, but also to be able to develop language and speak, so expressive language, because we learn to speak by imitation. The way a person speaks is often an indication of the way they hear sounds. If we can identify how that person is hearing sound, then we can use that information to individualize the program for that individual person. When people say, well, what does it sound like? It sounds like music, but with high frequencies, low frequencies, it goes loud, soft, clicks, metallic sound. It breaks up the pattern of sound, which then helps the brain and the hearing reorganize in a new and different way. And so then after AIT is finished, after the 10 days, normal sounds can become therapeutic as the brain and the hearing continue to reorganize and integrate the changes. Another way of thinking about it is that the using sound is vibrational. So it's stimulating new neural pathways in the brain. In fact, one of the women that trained me originally was a neuropsychologist who said she used to uses AIT as a matter of course with all her traumatic brain-injured patients because she got such good results with it, helping to stimulate new neural pathways. So even stroke victims, you know, if you continue to stimulate the person after a stroke, very often they can regain their capabilities. So AIT has a lot of different applications. And we try to make it available as much as possible to those who need it. So we kind of go out of our way a lot to help as best we can. We make it available not only in the office, but we also have a home program available. We work with, as I said, all ages from 3 on up. And what I do first is an initial evaluation. If someone can come to my office, then I can do the full evaluation right there. If they live a distance, then usually what I'll do is schedule a phone appointment or Skype with the parent and get history and background. So there's a form that people can fill in right on our website, AITHelps.com, and that gives me background information. I then spend about 45 minutes to an hour by phone, and I try to look I do a pretty comprehensive evaluation. I tend to be fairly holistic. So I do look at what else might be going on that might be affecting the person, and then give whatever recommendations I can that will be helpful, whether it's nutritional issues or psychological or auditory. So I try to look at all different areas. And since I've been doing this a long time, I have a lot of knowledge base and information that I am happy to share with people. Once we do that evaluation, if the person is capable of getting an accurate hearing test, I have them go to a local audiologist to get a detailed, specific hearing test. And there is a letter of instructions also can be downloaded on our website that gives the specific test that we are asking for. And I can talk about that more at another time if people are interested. We then have them fax that or email that to me, and I will review it and identify what specific frequencies need to be addressed first, and then often we will ask for a retest at the midpoint, so after the fifth day, because by that time you will begin to see changes, and in fact the hearing can change, and so at that point we evaluate whether there's a need for different CDs, different frequencies to be filtered, and then overnight express people the appropriate discs. So it's very individualized and monitored closely. So once a person begins the process, they have all my phone numbers. So if there's any question along the way, I make myself available so that I'm able to supervise and monitor closely how the program is going. And then when they're finished, we do follow-up evaluations. So I continue to remain in touch and see how the person does over time. So we include follow-up evals after the program and at 2 months after, and then 6 months to a year after, so we can monitor the progress over time. You can see on the slide that's on the screen that the equipment that is used for AIT was specially developed originally in France by a company that Dr. Berard worked with. The original device, which is what we do have in our office and use for the program, is called an audio kinetron. And it filters and modulates the sound, the music, randomly. Dr. Berard was around during the time when some neuropsychologists were doing studies of brain function. And one of the things they identified, they hypothesized that the brain is always trying to make sense of the world the best it can so we can function as well as possible, given the sensory information we receive. Once we get that information, the brain tends to go into patterns. And so those patterns then remain until or unless we get new and different sensory information. So the way they tested this is by putting glasses on, eyeglasses, that had lenses that made everything look upside down. Well, sure enough, what they found was after wearing them for about a week or 10 days, the brain reorganized and made everything look right side up. So Dr. Berard heard about this study and said, well, that's interesting. I wonder if it works for the vision. What about the hearing? So he took music that had a wide variation of rhythm, pitch, and beat. He actually used a lot of rock and roll from the 70s, and then used the audio kinetron to filter and modulate the sounds so that they are randomized. They break up the pattern of sound. And by breaking up the pattern of sound, it forces the brain to then reorganize as well. So it's a very fascinating idea, and he found that it worked. So it has become one of the really powerful treatments for any kind of auditory issues as well as the speech and language and brain function. When you hear the music, we use there's some classical music, but a lot of it is more active kinds of music. So even the classical will be like William Tell Overture, or the rock and roll will be Stevie Wonder, Led Zeppelin, Amy Grant, Michael Jackson. We have a variety of music, but it's all been tested and evaluated to work with this specific program. What Dr. Berard found was that certain music, like a lot of classical music, in fact, or children's music, is doesn't have enough variation of sound. And so a lot of the other auditory programs that are out there, in fact, use more classical music. They tend to have the volume quiet or low. The idea is that many of them were based on the work of Dr. Tomatis, who was focusing more on the emotional, psychological end of things, where Dr. Berard wanted to hone in on the auditory and the neurological. So he felt that a lot of the classical music and children's music wasn't stimulating enough. It didn't work the brain enough. It didn't work all the different auditory elements. He wanted music that was very active. So he used the rock and roll and some jazz, but all of it is quite active. And that is what worked. He also wanted the most efficient, effective program available. And so he tried many different ways of doing the program and found that doing 20 sessions, half an hour each, was what worked the best. If you go to the next slide, number 5, you'll see a little picture of that and the 30-minute sessions, listening with headphones. And what I find, a lot of parents are quite surprised at how quickly their children will take to the program, particularly the young kids or children that have tactile sensitivities. It can take them a little time to get used to having the headphones on, having anything on their head for that matter. So sometimes I'll suggest if a parent will practice beforehand by doing it in small doses, and then also sometimes doing a little ear massage or head massage will help desensitize the child's head and ears, so it makes it easier to put the headphones on. Now, we also do find that although we'd like the person to be mostly focusing on or involved with the sound therapy, with young children, it's hard for them to sit still for